This is HPR episode 2494 entitled Linux.conf.0/2018. Nicholas Teamhout and is part of the series Interviews. It is hosted by Clinton Roy and is about 20 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Clinton interviews Nicholas Teamhout, who ran an accessibility workshop.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
All right. Hello, everyone out in Hacker Public Radio land. This is Clinton Roy speaking from Thursday's morning tea session at LinuxConf AU. And I have a guest here with us. Would you mind introducing yourself for our listeners?
I am Nick Steenhout, and I have traveled from Montreal in Canada to present a tutorial on testing for web accessibility.
Oh, excellent. Right. I think you've given that...
That was yesterday,
yep,
yeah.
And you've sought some feedback, I think I saw? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So that is quite a trip.
It is.
So I have been to Montreal a long time ago.
Yep.
It was for a Python conference. It was like PyCon US, but it was held up north.
Right.
And it was a big trip, so I flew over and I stayed at Vancouver and did the train across and went to Montreal. So
that's a wonderful trip.
I don't do big international trips much, so I tried to do everything in one big trip.
Right.
Not to be too indelicate, but somehow I have a feeling that it was a much more difficult trip for you than it would be for me.
Well, it's not so much difficult. It can be logistically complicated.
Yep.
But as a wheelchair user, traveling in planes, when you do it often enough, you know what to expect. And this trip actually went off without a hitch, so it was quite good. You just have to arrive to the airport a little earlier and hurry up between the two transfers because it takes a little bit longer. Typically, you're the first one on the plane, but you're also the last one off the plane. And you want to make sure you have enough time between your connections to be able to get from one gate to the other.
Right. So still, that's a big trip for anyone for a conference. So I hope you're getting some holiday time in around as well.
No, I'm going right back tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get interested in giving a talk at our little conference down here from the other side of the world?
Well, I lived in New Zealand for 13 years, and I was lucky enough to speak at LCA in 2010 in Wellington.
Okay.
And since then, I've really like the conference. You know, it's different organizers from year to year, but there's a certain standard that
yeah.
seems to always be vied for, and I really like the conference. So
excellent.
I just wanted to come and
right.
share my knowledge again. And
cool. So it was an excuse to come back. Is
yeah.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But not just an excuse to come back, but a chance to come to one of the best open source conferences I've been to. Between LinuxConf, AU, and OSCON, it's really top of the line conferences. So
cool.
That's cool.
Cool, excellent. So can you describe your work? I did not attend your workshop. Can you give us a rundown of
it? It was a 100-minute workshop, and the idea was to do something really practical and hands-on. So I took people through an overview of what is web accessibility and why it's important. And kept that fairly short because that was not really the main part of the workshop. Then we spoke about automated testing, how it makes a difference, and how it the limitation of testing. And then we dove straight into manual testing. So the different steps to take to go through a web page to test for keyboard accessibility and color contrast and images, forms, all these typical issues that are fairly easy to fix, but you have to know to do that testing and have a workflow to rely on.
Cool. So, I mean, there's two parts to that there, the automation stuff and then the manual testing.
Yep.
Is there a particular library or toolkit that you suggest, or do you have different opinions about different toolkits?
In terms of testing for accessibility, there's a lot of tools out there. Some are better than others, and you have to remember that automated testing will only catch about 35% to 40% of all errors. So you really have to rely on human judgment, human testing to get there. There's some really good tools out there for automated testing. Look, I quite like Tenon.io, which is catching a lot, and it allows you to do individual pages, or you can actually hook into their API to test your whole site at the same time. There's other tools out there, but bottom line is manual testing. You have a keyboard, you have color contrast analyzers, and you have code inspectors. Once you have that, you're in good shape. And then, of course, there's playing with screen readers if you're comfortable with that.
Yep. So I guess of the accessibility workshops and talks that I've been to, the takeaway from that, just to have a very poorly worded phrase there, the motivations for looking at accessibility stuff, you can look at it as though there are large subsets of our community who can't use these technologies, and it's incumbent on us to help them.
Yep.
But there's also the other side of the coin where all of us are going to have degrading abilities over time, and you know, certainly in the last year or so, my eyesight has started to drop off a cliff.
Yep.
For unknown reasons. So I'm you know, boosting font sizes in my browser much more than I used to. I listen to podcasts out the wazoo. I'm probably destroying my hearing. So were your workshops aimed at people who have less abilities on the more extreme range, or less abilities on the smaller range? Or does that really matter?
It doesn't really matter. In general, I approach accessibility as something that's good for everyone. As you broached, you know, there's an expression in the disability community is that nobody's able-bodied. Everybody is temporarily able-bodied.
Yep.
But setting that aside, for me, it's really a question of making the web better for everyone. So if you're talking about color contrast, that's really good for helping someone that has vision problems. It's also very good for someone trying to read your website on a mobile outside in bright sun.
Yep.
If you're talking about writing text that's easy to understand for someone who has a learning disability, you're also making your site easier to understand for people that are non-native English speakers, or even for machine translation. So all these wins that we do from an accessibility perspective for people with disabilities tend to have an equivalent win for people that don't have disabilities, making it easier to use the site.
Yeah.
So when I approach accessibility, that's always something I have in the back of my mind, that we're wanting to make as many changes and remove as many barriers as possible for people with disabilities, always with the background that it's going to be good for everyone.
Yeah. Like there was one talk I went to this conference where they were showing a few code headers up on the screen, and there was a little bit of syntax highlighting, and I think it meant the keywords were in yellow on a white background.
Yeah.
And I could not read it, and I was immediately taken out of the talk. I was
right.
Struggling to read the text on the screen, rather than easily being able to read the text on the screen and being able to listen to the presenter. And just imagine what it's like to deal with the web in that way for every single interaction that you've got with every single web page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's tools and ways around that. You can implement your own color scheme, you can use high contrast schemes, you can do all these things. Granted, the site is coded that will actually interact well with these assistive technologies. So that's where, as developers, we have this I say duty, but it's not so much a duty as much as a, it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah, I've taken the very boring approach with my slides, is I just go black and white on my slides, and then I don't have to worry about color stuff at all.
Yeah.
I have found that I seem to have a very different color palette. I seem to see colors in a slightly different way than other people see colors. So things that are very easy for me to see are hard for others, and vice versa.
Right.
So I just go black and white just to simplify things. I think one of the interesting things that LCA LinuxConf.au has typically failed at in the past is getting feedback about speakers and about workshops.
Yep.
So you've taken it upon yourself to get feedback about your workshop.
Yeah.
Can you go into that a little bit more and what sort of questions you're asking in your feedback and how many responses have you had so far?
Yeah. I'm fortunate enough to speak at a lot of conferences, and I always want to make sure that what I deliver is what the audience expects, and I want to make sure that the next time I give a talk is better. So some conferences are really good at seeking feedback from the audience. I'm thinking at ConFu in Canada, they're really, really good at getting feedback from the audience, but they're the exception more than the rules. So I've created a fairly simple Google form that I just hook into my site, and I ask basically three questions. I ask the audience to rate the site on a scale of, you know, it was horrible, it was mediocre, it was good, it was awesome. So there's two bad choices and two good choices, and people can make the decision. I ask them what really worked well for them, what they liked about the workshop, so I know what to keep on doing. And then I ask what they thought could be improved. Then I ask them their name if they want to give it, and if they want me to get back to them, they have a question or concern, then they can give me their email address, but that's totally optional.
Yep.
So far, the responses I've gotten, both through the web interface and through just informal chat, was that people really loved it. One person said, I thought I knew about accessibility, and then I realized that I didn't know as much as I thought.
Yep.
One person did know a fair bit, so they expected a different level of accessibility, but the workshop was really targeted at people that are devs that don't do it day in, day out.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's a question of judging the audience.
And I think that's one of the interesting things. Like, I think the website backend that we're currently using for LinuxConf, we can switch on a feature where we can specify to the audience whether or not this is a talk or workshop aimed at beginners, intermediates,
yep,
or professionals. But I think it's another one of those cases where instead of having a small enumeration like that, you might actually want like a free text field to describe that.
That might make a difference, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing with the workshop versus a talk is that you'll be able to get a little bit of feedback throughout the workshop.
Yeah.
So have you noticed, is the official feedback that you've been getting, is that similar to the feedback that you're getting through the talk? Do those line up?
I think those line up pretty well. One of the nice things about the workshop as opposed to a talk is you can be a lot more interactive. So there were a lot of pauses for people to actually look at their own site and try a few things that I was talking about and have that discussion as you go. So that's a little bit more relaxed that way. And I think it allows the audience to really get the most out of something because it's more interactive than just a talk.
Yep. Yeah, so this is, I'm wearing one of the t-shirts from another Australian conference that I don't get to go to as often as I'd like. And the feedback forms that they've taken on in the last few years is a very simple traffic light system. As you exit the room, they just have a few iPads set up.
Yeah.
It's literally red, green, yellow. And like the advantage of that sort of system is that it's very easy. There's a very low bar to give feedback on.
Yeah.
But of course, the disadvantage is if somebody says it was good or bad, we don't know why.
Yeah.
It's this really, really difficult thing. And it's people are very likely to spout off on insert favorite social media thing here.
Yeah.
About why they either hated or loved a particular session. But unless we can drag that back into the conference somehow, it's very hard to feed back in. And I guess it's one of those things that should be possible for LinuxConf.eu because the paper team for the main part of the conference is pretty much, it's not the same every year, but it's got the same core group of people from year to year. So there's a lot of continuity in the papers team. So feedback that they get from year to year, they should be able to keep that.
Yeah.
But to the best of my knowledge, they, apart from them attending and hearing scuttlebutt, I don't think they get much feedback.
Yeah. Confu does it in a very interesting way, which I thought was very labor-intensive, but it actually works really well. They print out little slips of papers, maybe 10 centimeters by 15 centimeters, with just, you know, a rating, smiley faces and frowny faces, and a couple lines of what was good, what was bad.
Yep.
And they hand that out to all the attendees at the start of the presentation. And then they have a volunteer collecting them back. And within a couple hours, they're all scanned and emailed back to the presenter.
Okay.
So you really have that in writing immediately. And of course, the organizers can refer to the presentation and see that. So that's a fairly low-tech approach that gives a chance to gather good feedback. I like the idea of this traffic light thing because you're sure to hit many more people.
Yeah.
But as you said, then you don't know why they liked it or why they didn't. So.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I think LinuxConf.au and I have to admit PyCon.au, which I'm a previous organizer of, we haven't really tried a lot of things, so we have a lot of room to fail.
But you have a lot of room to improve.
Yes. Have you been able to see much of the rest of the conference, like, or have you been planning for your workshop?
I've seen the developers miniconf on Monday.
Cool.
On Tuesday, I was in and out of a few sessions and just finalizing a few things. I had a mini disaster actually. My keynote presentation got corrupted.
Oh.
So I had to rebuild it from a couple backups. That was a little bit of a tense moment. But I've seen a few sessions and it was quite good.
Excellent. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. I was helping to organize one of the mini conferences on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
So my Monday was shot and my Tuesday was just the mini conf. So yesterday was the first day I had it actually enjoying the conference. But I was exhausted. So today I feel like I've got a little bit more energy.
Right.
And today is the first day I've been able to take a few interviews as well.
Right.
So is there anything you're looking forward to for the rest of the conference in particular? Any particular talks or anything?
I didn't have any sessions particularly flagged that I'm thinking, oh, I must get to that, because they're all good.
Yep.
I tend to have more of an interest in the less geeky technical sessions. And there's a good mix of that here. So I'm hoping to be able to get around. And what happens in the hallway between sessions is always so good.
Yeah, see, a particular bugbear of mine is that I go to conferences to go to the talks. And that's totally fine and it doesn't matter. But I have helped to organize a lot of conferences and I often explicitly get asked to help organize the hallway track, which is always great fun because I don't go to the hallway track. So why am I being asked to organize the hallway track? So what things should I be doing to make the hallway track better?
This concept of organizing a hallway track for me is foreign. It's weird because that's the beauty of it. It's informal, it's organic, it happens a little bit like an on conference. You know, people get together, they have a shared interest, and they start talking about it, and people can join in. On the other hand, people get together, they don't know they have a common interest, and suddenly you start discussing thing and going in the direction you didn't expect. And I think that's the beauty of the hallway track, as opposed to more organized talks, is that it's not organized, it's organic, and maybe it takes a certain personality to enjoy that or get yourself into it. So maybe people who are more introvert are not as likely to benefit from it. But I don't think it should be organized. I mean,
yeah, I think for the most part, people want space to move out, space so that not everyone is lumped together, and couches to sit on.
See, as a wheelchair user, I'll always have the best seat in the house, so that's not a problem. But I can see how that could be a something to organize for people, yeah.
Yeah. All right, is there anything else you'd like to have on the record?
I just want to thank the organizers and the volunteers and the attendees and the other speakers, because everybody together really makes for one of the best conferences in the world that I've been to.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.